Hello, everybody. Welcome to an edition of episode 107. I decided to add this since there's been two updates since I recorded this episode. Update number one, the Europa draw is out and it's pretty good. Portuguese clubs will be playing teams from France. So we've got that whole fifth versus sixth place thing going with the UEFA rankings. Porto will be playing Lyon. Porto has a lot of success against Olympic Lyon over the years, so a very good draw for Porto. Meanwhile, Braga has been drawn with Monaco, which features, of course, Gelson Martins. And let me tell you, that's a very good draw as well. Of course, the French probably feel just as strong and happy of the fact that they're facing us and nobody else tougher. But we have a lot of confidence too. So a very, very good Europa draw Friday morning for Portuguese clubs. Update number two, I talked a little bit about on this episode later on. It wasn't a very big topic. About could Portugal go for hosting the Champions League final for 3 years in a row? But an update came out very quickly now that Paris is going to be hosting the Champions League final this year. Now, of course, that all happened quickly in light of events going on in Ukraine. So just want to drop those two quick updates before you hear episode 107. And here it goes, episode 107. Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 107. We got a great week ahead. We got a lot of great matches. In my opinion, this is the first time in a very long time in the Liga where there isn't just one or two good matches. There's about a good four matches that I'm going to be pointing out to you here in a few minutes. So the Liga B win is going to be really very good this weekend. And then next week, middle of the week, we have more football. This time, though, of the domestic variety, and that is, of course, we have the Taça de Portugal, the first leg of the two-leg semifinals, and obviously all eyes next Wednesday will be on Alvalade with Sporting taking on Porto after the what happened a few weeks ago on the Friday night in Porto. You know, emotions are very high. These are two teams that are obviously battling for the Liga title, and now one of them will only be able to advance after these two legs to go to the Taça de Portugal, Portugal's second biggest cup competition. And that'll be taking place next Wednesday, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And then, of course, we also have on next Thursday, Tondela. They'll be at home, and they're going to be playing Mafra from the second division. One of those teams is going to be playing in the Taça de Portugal final in May for the first time. And they'll be playing their first leg next Thursday, Tondela at home. And so between the Liga this weekend, the midweek action with the Taça de Portugal, we really got a lot to look forward to. But before I get going with the schedule, just a few words. Congratulations to both Porto and Braga. Terrific Europa Thursday. Porto, again, Conceição for the third time as Porto manager, eliminating an Italian side out of European competition. First it was Roma, then it was Juventus, and now we could add Lazio to the list of victims. Porto went there, got the 2-2 draw, won overall on aggregate 4-3, so they will be advancing. And then, of course, you've got Braga, came home after losing the first leg to Sheriff in Moldova, 2-0, came home, managed to get it all leveled up by halftime. And then, of course, they went to penalty kicks after a scoreless second half. And they walk away in penalty kicks, and they will advance to the round of 16 with Porto. So two Portuguese clubs that we know of right now are still alive in European competition. Also need to kind of tip your hat to Benfica. Very good draw against Ajax, 2-2. I had mentioned in my preview last week that Benfica needed to score some goals. I still think they really needed to walk away with the win because Ajax is such a good team that they could score two or three goals in a half right away. So there's still a lot of work to do on March the 15th when they go to the second leg in Amsterdam. But certainly when you start thinking about all the performances under Verissimo. This was definitely one of those better performances. The club really responded on a European night with a lot of fans in the Stadio de Luz. It was just a terrific night of football. So Benfica did well. We obviously know about Sporting's result, of course, from last week. Won't get into that. But so far, two Portuguese clubs through to the next round. By the time you hear this, the draw would have already taken place early on Friday. And then, of course, we've got, Benfica, still to play and Sporting at this point to wrap up with Manchester City. So a very, very good week of Europe overall. The Portuguese clubs still sit in sixth place in the UEFA rankings. I don't really see anything changing with that. But again, I still think we're a top five league in Europe. But in terms of the math with the UEFA rankings, that is definitely not the case for now. But nevertheless, we should be very happy about what was a very, very good week. And by the way, later on in this episode, I'm not only going to talk about the Taça da Liga, Taça de Portugal preview, going to talk about some news with the centralization of the TV rights, going to talk about can Portugal host the third straight Champions League final? Could they do the hat trick of hosting the Champions League final? We'll see. And we'll also talk a little bit about Portugal-Turkey, which is going to be coming up in less than a month, by the way, when you're hearing this. But that's what happened during the past week. That's what's to come in this episode. And let me start like I always do with the schedule. And obviously, we need to start with the Liga B win. And again, terrific this weekend. Obviously, the highlight match this weekend, which, by the way, will be the RTP International match of the week for those that subscribe to RTP and have it at home, like many of us do. But obviously, the highlight match is no doubt on Sunday. Porto and Gil Vicente, first place versus fifth place. Gil Vicente, of course, without a doubt, the surprise package of the season. They've already gone to Stadio de Luz and grabbed the 3 points. And now they got a chance to try to do with no clubs. I think it's the last 51 Liga matches Porto has not lost in Liga. You know, obviously, when I say loss, I mean loss. They have had several draws, but they've won more. And they haven't lost. I now remember that match. It was a 3-2 match at the end of October 2020. About a year and a half ago was the last time that Porto tasted the defeat of losing all 3 points. And they're going to be tested with Gil Vicente. Gil Vicente right now only 4 points behind Braga for that fourth place Europa spot. That's what Gil Vicente wants. They want to go to Europa. They do not want to have to play in the Europa Conference League and go through playoffs and things like that. So there's no doubt that that is the big match of the weekend. And coming up here in a minute, I'll tell you the players that aren't available this weekend for those teams after I do the sort of a preview here of all the matches. Another great match is Marítimo and Sporting. Marítimo this past weekend suffered a very disappointing 1-0 loss at home to Família Com. What was disappointing about this is that Marítimo went something like 2 months where they only lost to Porto and Benfica, and they had been pretty much on cruise control. I've talked about it in past episodes with Vasco Seabra just doing a great job. But last week, they tasted a defeat, and they lost the 3 points at home. Can they bounce back against basically the defending champions of the league, Sporting? This is a great match because, if I remember correctly, last January of last year, I think Sporting played like 2 matches in 1 week, one for the Liga, one for the Taça, and they lost, I believe, the Taça match. They were eliminated by Marítimo. So Sporting's had, like really all clubs do, they, you know, as we saw, some clubs have a very hard time in Madeira, and this is one of those matches where Sporting, I can guarantee you, you know, one good thing about Ruben Amorim is he likes to remind his players that they can't take it easy. They have to stay focused match to match, that all it takes is one bad loss and people start talking bad about you. And all it does is if you keep winning, people will continue to be positive. And he knows that this is one of those matches where they could trip up, trailing Porto by 6 points in the standings. But this is another great match. This is going to be a match on a Saturday. Then, of course, you also have on going to Sunday, Benfica, Vitória Guimarães. Benfica, during the Rui Vitória years, if I remember correctly, owned Guimarães. But every once in a while, Guimarães springs a surprise. And we talk about how, in terms of fan support, Guimarães is, and it is, I don't think anyone would argue, the fourth biggest team in Portugal, but successfully, they've really been the fifth or sixth best team in Portugal in the last 10 to 15 years. Braga gets the distinction of being the fourth best team. And that's a very, very good match. Benfica at home to Guimarães. Benfica, again, can they continue the positive momentum that they've been having lately with Verissimo? They did have that disappointing result with Boavista, but they played well the week before that. Can they take this positive performance against Ajax and continue to build on it? They still have hopes for second place. Remember, Sporting still has to come to Luge later on this season. So they have hopes. But in order to continue that hope, they have to win. So that's a very good match between Benfica and Vitória Guimarães on Sunday. Monday, another very good match at home. You've got Braga and Santa Clara. Santa Clara, again, has been really an improved team over the last month. Braga coming off this tremendous, even though they won, and then they won in penalty kicks against Sheriff from Moldova, they're going to look to continue. And obviously, they're going to be looking behind their backs because Gil Vicente is right behind them. So that is another very good match, and that'll be the one that will wrap up week 24, round 24, and that'll be, of course, Braga against Santa Clara on Monday night. Other good matches that you have is you got Famalicão and Tondela. Now, if you didn't know, Famalicão was stuck for a few days in Madeira because of really bad winds. First off, Madeira is one of the most beautiful places in Europe. But one of the things about Madeira, when you go to Funchal, is that if you've ever flown there, it is a very interesting landing because there's so much wind. And if you don't believe me, I want you just to Google Madeira Funchal Cristiano Ronaldo Airport, and you're going to see the planes, the way they zigzag, the way sometimes they literally flip on their side because of the wind. And pilots essentially need to have a specific license training to be able to be the ones that will fly into Madeira. And if you ever watch it, just watch it. It's incredible, some of the things that you see with some of these planes landing in Madeira. But there was some issues of them getting out, so much so that there was some talk in the press that they were going to ask Tondela to move the match from Saturday to Sunday. But that was going to be a little bit problematic because Tondela on Thursday is going to be playing Mafra on the first leg of the Taça de Portugal semifinal. So, you know, Tondela is not going to want to give up a day there. This is history for them. You know, they've never made it to the semifinals, and they've never made it to the final. You know, the feast at the Jamor, this is a big deal for them. But everything I'm hearing right now is that the match is still scheduled for Saturday, and it's pretty much the first match on Saturday at 15:13. But Famalicão, you know, they had that great result, 5-0 against Moreirense. Now they go to Madeira and they beat Marítimo. So Famalicão is starting to turn it around under their manager. Right now they are in 13th place after sitting in 17th place for a very long time. So essentially they get out of the bottom of the standings and they're starting to make headway. And they'll be playing, of course, Tondela. And, you know, Tondela could be looking ahead. You know, Tondela could be looking ahead to Thursday. We've seen that happen a lot with a lot of teams. Portimonense did that when they were still in the quarterfinals, looking ahead to the Taça de Portugal, and they lost a very important Liga match. And will Tondela be looking ahead to the match on Thursday? And are they going to be, you know, in the same mindset among the players for this match against a Famalicão team that's just playing a lot better? So they got to be really very, very careful. Estoril, Boavista, again, Boavista with the big result last week at home against Benfica, 2-2 draw. Estoril, again, I don't think they've been the same club for the last 2 months that they were from about September to December. This is a club that is just not the same. But nevertheless, they are going to be at home this week to Boavista, who is in 14th place right now. And then you also, of course, have Vizela playing Portimonense, and that's another good match. And everything pretty much gets going on Friday with Bissad hosting in the Jamor Passos de Ferreira. Passos, by the way, did a very interesting thing. They are offering not just a free ticket, but a free bus ride to Lisbon on a Friday night. Fans have to sign up and register for this package. They will leave the stadium at around 15:30 in the afternoon for the 3.5-hour trip out there to the Lisbon area to play at the Jamor. And I got to tell you, this is what I love about Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer, is that You have the clubs. Gil Vicente is doing the same thing, although they're not giving away the tickets free. They've got a package for 20 euros for the ticket, visiting ticket, and for the bus ride from Barcelos to Porto, which is about, I think it's about a 50-minute drive. But I love it when these clubs do this because it's just, the ticket prices are very reasonable for Portugal. Perhaps in North America or England, those prices compared to professional sports in other areas. I mean, even college sports, NCAA sports at some big schools tend to be more expensive than what you would pay to go see a Liga B-Win match in Portugal. But a very good marketing effort by Passos. They're obviously losing money on this, but they're doing this because the competition from the middle to the bottom is so tight that all these clubs kind of right now, all the clubs from, like, let's say 10th place down through 18, you're all trying to avoid the bottom two, and you're also trying to avoid 16th place. I mean, you got Santa Clara, even though they've been playing better, they only have 25 points. And then 16th place Tundela is in the playoff promotion spot of 16th place. They only have 20. So there's a 5-point difference between the 16th place team and the 10th place team. I mean, that is not a lot. You get into a bad losing streak where you drop two or three bad matches, boom. You're right down at the bottom of the standing in the colored red area where, you know, you're going to be, you know, below the line, and that's not where you want to be. Familiar Cone was below the line. Several good results they put together, and boom, right all of a sudden now they're kind of working their way to the top. Santa Clara was at the bottom for a while. They worked their way to the top. But that's also because the middle to the bottom, you're not talking about more than 10, 15 points. I mean, we're literally talking about basic. And by the way, when you think about Moreirense, which again, trying to turn it around, 19 points in 17th place, you know, one of the two spots of relegation, they're only 6 points behind Santa Clara in 10th place. So the bottom line is things are very, very, very close in the Liga B-Win. And as a result, you're starting to see these clubs, and you're going to see more of it as we start to get into the spring and the weather gets a little bit warmer and clubs become more comfortable doing these events with the fans. You're going to start to see more of these marketing initiatives. We saw a marketing initiatives with Estoril after one of their players had some lupa beans thrown at him, and they turned it around into a little bit of a marketing effort. So really a smart effort by Passos. And Passos, by the way, Braga does a great job with their social media. I love the Kanye West post they did after the Europa regarding Ricardo Horta, you know, trying to get him attention for the national team call-up pretty soon for Fernando Santos. But Passos has, in my opinion, an absolutely adorable mascot, and they are very, very smart with their social media. You know, they're not a club with a lot of resources, and they really make their social media creativity go very, very far. And they do a very nice job. And I think it's very, very good to throw them a bit of a positive comment. I just think that's very good. So that's pretty much your week 24, round 24. Again, it gets going Friday. Bissat, Passos de Ferreira. Great matches on Saturday with Familia Con, Tundela, Marítimo Sporting, Arouca, Moreirense. Then Sunday, you've got Benfica, Guimarães at home. And then Sunday night wraps up with Porto, Gil Vicente. Man, that's a good match. And don't forget, that's the RTP International match. And then Monday, it all wraps up. Braga, of course, playing on Monday because they were obviously playing this past Thursday. So they're playing on Monday at home to Santa Clara. And in case you're wondering why Porto is not playing on Monday, because they play Friday, it's because they got to play Sporting in the Taça de Portugal first leg coming up Wednesday. So Porto is pretty much involved with a lot of these trips. That's just the way it is when you are a big, big club. Let's go to the second division report. And before I do that, let me just give you a quick rundown of who is and who is not available. First off, Andre Almeida is doubtful for Benfica. Seferovic, as of now, continues to be out. Julian Weigl is out because of yellow card suspension. And then, of course, we also know, same thing, by the way, with Otamendi. He won't be available this weekend for Guimarães. He's also suspended with yellow cards. Moving along to Boa Vista, they've got several players that are out with yellows. Gori and Yanis Hamash are going to be missing their match this weekend. Boa Vista, again, is going to be playing Estoril So they will not be available this weekend. Moreirense, you know, I mentioned last week that Steven Vitoria wasn't available to play. Well, he did, but he was sent off this match, the Canadian international. I believe he's from the Toronto area, but he is unavailable this weekend, being sent off last week. Also this weekend for Porto, Manafa, still unavailable, getting over his knee surgery, but Wendell is out. And then, of course, we continue to look. Gil Vicente, pretty much everyone's available this weekend, so I think that's important to mention. This weekend, Claudio Winnick is unavailable for Meritimo. Pasus has a bunch of players that are hurt, but the two that hurt is Juan Delgado and Rui Perez. They're both going to be missing the match this weekend at Jamor against Bisad with yellows. Braga's got a lot of players with injuries. Sad news this week, Roger, their young 16, 17-year-old phenom, he's going to be out for 2 months. A lot of money with that kid. That is Braga's big payday in the future, but unfortunately he's going to be out with an injury. Sporting, the Tabata is out, Paulinha's out. We've also got Sarabia. He picked up his fifth yellow, so he's out this weekend. Manuel Ugarte, the Uruguayan international, is doubtful as of this podcast recording. And Pote is right now also doubtful. He apparently picked up an injury during the week at training. Guimarães, only one player can play, João Ferreira, because he's a Benfica product, so he cannot play against Benfica. Looking along here at the rest of the way, I'm going through the list. I think the big thing this weekend, really just a lot of injuries. Carasas, who used to play for Porto, I'm probably not saying that right. He's not going to be available for the Bisad match against Pastores de Ferreira. So those are the players that will not be available for round 24. Let's go to what I got to tell you, and I talk about this last week. I go into detail about it, and you have to go into detail because it's just so good right now, the second division in Portugal. Basically, again, you have essentially right now six teams competing for the top two spot, which is automatic promotion, not to mention that the third-place team will wind up playing the 16th-place team in the first division. Casa Pia and Benfica B leading the way with 46 points. Chaves, which has been one of the best teams in the second division in the last 2 months, they are in tied for second with Feirense from the Feira with 43. Rio Ave, 42 points. And then you've got Nacional with 36. Again, you essentially have six clubs that I just mentioned that are all in the running for the second division title. You take away Benfica B, who's not eligible for promotion, and you essentially have five teams battling where the top two go up and the other one goes into the playoffs. So the second division has been really good. And again, much like the first division this weekend, you got some really good matches with the second division. Right off the bat on Friday, Chaves will be at home to Benfica B. So pretty much a second and third place matchup right away in Trás do Montes, one of the most beautiful parts of Portugal. The food there is fantastic. Then you got, of course, on a Saturday morning, first match, the what I call the TV match for Sport TV. You got Casa Pia making the trip to go play Covilha. And, of course, Casa Pia in a first-place tie with Benfica. They'll know Benfica B's result from the night before, and they'll know what they have to do on a Saturday. You've also got Nacional playing Trofense. Trofense right now just playing to stay up. But Nacional still keeping their hopes to try to get into the top three. Rio Ave FC Porto B, very, very good match. A lot of fans from Porto will go to this match because it's only, if you take the metro rail, it's only about a 40-minute ride from Porto. I've done it many, many times. There's a great little cafe once you get off the train station in Vila do Conde. You know, if you're like me and you get there early and, you know, obviously they're not going to let you into the stadium. Or they go across the street to this cafe, have myself some coffee, a bifana, walk around town, and then boom, head over to the stadium. I've done it many times with some of my cousins. But that's a very good match. That's the match that'll be taking place this weekend, Rio Ave FC Porto B. And then we also have another very, very good match. And that's, of course, first of all, let me just say that right now at the bottom, you have Académica with 14 points, last place. You got Varzim with 15 points. And then you got Covilha with Lionel Punce's manager still trying to break away. Those are the bottom three teams. But what's important is the bottom two, Varzim and Académica, are really in trouble. Basically, they need to get to 19 points, and Academica right now is 5 points away, Varzim 4. So these are teams, and Academica this weekend is playing Academico do Viseu, which is only in 15th place. So a lot of these teams this weekend are going to be playing teams with the same interest as them, and that's get the points to try to do everything they can to get down from the bottom of the standing. So week 24 of the second division, again, a lot of great matches this weekend. Canal 11, the Federation's website, is showing the match between Academica and Academico do Viseu. And of course, let me get to, well, first of all, let me just say Taça do Portugal coming up next week. Of course, Sporting Porto, first leg on Wednesday, 20:45 in Alvalade. This is a major match, obviously, from everything we know of what happened 2 weeks ago. And this is one of those matches where if you're Sporting and you're playing at home, the goal here is to try to get the win and to try to go to Porto with the advantage. Porto, to their credit, has played very well as the road team this year. This is only their second. Well, they only come back to Lisbon one more time later on the season, as that's when they play Benfica. But there's no doubt that the emotion on Wednesday night for this Taça do Portugal final, it is going to be very loud. It is going to be very heated. And it's basically going to be great television. And you hope that nothing happens what happened in the last match, where we, of course, saw the basic arguing. We saw the essentially a scrum that took place at the end of the match. You hope that this is about a lot of good goals. You hope this is about what happens on the pitch. And then you hope that none of this controversy is going to carry off the pitch, because it's just not very good for Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football. So that is a very big match. And again, that'll be taking place next Wednesday. And if my schedule allows it, I'm going to go to my local Portuguese neighborhood to watch that match. That match will be on TVI in Portugal. Again, you know, next year it'll be a different story when RTP International has the TV rights. But this match will not be broadcast. Unless you have the ability to get TVI and you're subscribing to it. But no RTP International. I always get asked a lot of questions about that, but that will not be happening. So again, big match, Sporting Porto next Wednesday. Big. And obviously whoever wins will have the first leg advantage going into the second leg next month. My picks, man, I did very well this week. Another 3-1 week. It's the third time in the last four episodes that I've gone 3-1. Last week I predicted that Porto would beat Moreirense. They did. I predicted Sporting would beat Estoril. They did. I predicted Gil Vicente would beat Bissad. They did. The only one I got wrong, because I predicted a draw. I predicted that Chaves would beat Porto, and they wound up drawing in the second division match last weekend between FC Porto B and Chaves. So that was my disappointing result. That was 0-0, by the way. That match. So that was the only one I lost. Right now, I am 55 correct, 39 incorrect. I'm at 59%, but I'm getting better, because a few weeks ago I was at 56%. I don't think I'm going to get to 75%, but I'm going to be like a Santa Clara, a Tundela, a Passos de Ferreira. I'm just going to try to get into the 60s. If I can get into the 60 percentile, I think that would be pretty darn good, to be honest with you, if we can get it. My goal was initially 75, which I knew would be very difficult. But if I can get there, I will. And here are my picks for this weekend. I am predicting that Benfica will beat Vitória Guimarães. I'm going to say 2-0. I'm going to predict a draw, Marítimo Sporting 1-1. I'm going to predict Porto Gil Vicente will finish in a 2-2 draw. My heart tells me that I still think that Sporting will win and Porto will win, because they're the obvious favorites as the bigger teams. But I just kind of, I'm going to see two draws here. I'm predicting two draws with Marítimo Sporting, Porto Gil Vicente. Again, I don't want to make picks to play it safe. I feel like I need to take chances, and that's really what I'm thinking of. So I'm predicting those two are going to be in a draw. And then in the second division, I'm going to predict that Vila Franquense, a club, I don't believe they're too far away from Torres Vedras, if I recall. They're going to be playing Farense from the Algarve. And I'm going to be predicting that Vila Franquense will record a win. I think they're going to win 1-0. So Benfica to beat Guimarães, Marítimo Sporting draw, Porto Gil Vicente draw, Feirense will from Algarve will lose to Vila Franquense. Part part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. Going to talk a little bit of sports business here about the Liga B win here in my Fast and Furious section, where I'm just going to touch base on a lot of topics. Number one, TV rights came up this week. Basically, they had the meetings with all the presidents to discuss a lot of issues, and the big one that came up was television rights, the centralization of television rights. Right now, each club has their own TV deal. There was talk that I think by 2028, 2029, right around there, that the centralization of the TV rights would begin. And now the clubs are talking about the possibility of not next season, but the following season, 2023-24, basically having the setup of the centralization rights at that time. And there's a company that's been formed that will essentially be in charge of these rights. And again, I've talked about this in the past, where this is really big news for Portugal, because if you do it as a package and you have a company that is solely dedicated to selling the rights, their job is not only to sell the rights, their job is to get a lot of money. And in football and soccer, we've seen it with the Premier League. Premier League is what it is, not just because they are the most popular team in the world, but because they're popular and because they've got good television ratings, people are spending billions of dollars on their rights, not just in North America, but in Asia, obviously in England, not to mention around the rest of Europe. And when that money, they're making all that money eventually makes its way back to the teams. The teams then could afford to spend more money on players, especially in the transfer market, because as you know, the big clubs in Europe, especially in England, are always coming to watch players in Portugal, and that is one of the biggest opportunities to make a lot of money when you are a Portuguese team. But there is going to be a club that's been created, and they're thinking about possibly getting this underway, the centralization of TV rights, perhaps as soon as not necessarily next season to come, but the following one. And I've talked a lot in this podcast. I know sports business, and if you want a league that basically makes money, you need to make money with the TV. And in order to do that, we need people to be watching a lot of Portuguese television matches and not just necessarily being in love with our younger players who eventually are sold, and then all of a sudden that product is no longer in Portugal to be seen as part of the TV rights. And that's a result. This is why I've been saying that there has to be a way to make the Liga B win more exciting to fans and not just watching, you know, what happened 2 weeks ago with Porto and Sporting. So this is a very big news, because this is going to put clubs in position to make a lot more money. It means that the smaller clubs in Portugal are going to have an opportunity to make more money, and it's going to bring more money into the game. And, you know, you look at a club like Gil Vicente. Gil Vicente probably is not going to have their manager next year, Ricardo Suarez. He's going to have an opportunity to move to a bigger club, whether it's one of the bigger clubs in Portugal. Maybe not. I'm not necessarily talking about the big three, but it could be a Braga. If Carlos Corvial leaves, it could be a Guimarães. There's chances to be taken with that. And then, of course, you've got, you know, there's already one player that's going to Atletico Madrid in the summer, and you've got all these other great players that are at Gil Vicente that are likely going to be sold. So if they're playing in Europe next year, Gil Vicente, you're not necessarily going to see the same players. Now, if you're making more money and you could pay the players more money, you know, you're not probably going to keep them all. But chances are you'll be able to keep some players just a little bit longer, and maybe players will eventually see that it's better to be playing in Portugal than going to another league where they're going to try to battle to get into a spot in the 11, especially if they have a chance to make more money in Portugal. So that was very big news this week on the sports business front. We also saw John Textor. He is, I looked up his bio, he's like the CEO of Fubo, which is a streaming service, and I believe he also is a majority owner. I apologize, I don't know how it works, of Botafogo in Brazil. But he's been linked with Porto. You know, he wasn't successful with Benfica. He came to Portugal to meet with the press to explain his side of the story. But now Porto, apparently there might be a connection there. And basically, Porto needs some capital. You know, they need some injection of money. So there's a possibility that he might be looking to get involved. So he was in the news again this week, and he's always in the news. He is somebody that could bring some fresh money into Portugal and a different perspective, too. If he's, you know, I don't know how long he's been following Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, but I'm sure if it's been in the last year, he's seen a lot of different things. So he should know by now what he's getting into. but he wants to put some money into Portugal, and we'll see if it's going to be, in fact, Porto. One other thing I wanted to mention is ticket prices in Portugal. I have said this for the longest time. I remember the first Clásico that I went to. It was at the Estádio do Dragão. The Antas. Estádio das Antas. 2000... I'm trying to remember if it was maybe 2004, 2005. No, I'm not that old. But I was in Portugal with my cousin. It was Benfica Porto. Porto had Chianu. I'm not saying that right. Jardel. Fernando Santos was the manager of Porto at that time. And they were playing Benfica, who had Graham Souness as a manager. So you diehard Benfica fans, you know, maybe you know the year better. They had Brian Dean. They had, you know, at that time they were getting an influx of some English players with Graham Souness as manager. And I remember it was a 2-0. Jardel scored one of the goals. And I remember going to that game. And I remember, if I remember correctly, I think I paid 15 euros for a ticket in the old Antas, which is nothing like the current Estádio do Dragão. And one of the things I remember is when I was sitting there with my cousin, there were some people sitting next to me. And I guess there was somebody that couldn't make it to the game, so they sold their tickets, or however they do it, they gave it back, whatever. But I remember some people all around me kept asking me to see my ticket because they couldn't understand why I was sitting there and what was the other guy. And then they realized that the other guy had to go out of town, and I guess he must have given his season ticket back for that game. But the point was, is I got to see a game, a Clásico like that back then. Back then, 15 euros was a lot. 15 euros was a lot back then. Let me tell you, it was a lot of money back then. Fortunately for me, coming in as a vacation, you know, when you go on vacation, you have that money that you're willing to spend because you're on vacation. But over the years, Portugal ticket prices are not very expensive. I remember going to a Taça da Liga preliminary match. At the time, Daniel Ramos was the manager of a team called Friamund, and they were playing Oriental, which is in Lisbon. I had to take a metro to a bus. Then I had to get off the bus, and I still had to try to find the stadium, and it was down the end of a pathway. And I remember going there, and I think I paid something like 3 euros to go see the match. And then I had a Bifana, okay, and a beer for 3 euros as well. So I made 3 trips to the bar to buy 3 Bifanas because I was very hungry that day. But ticket prices in Portugal are not very expensive. And that just tells you about the fact that the game in Portugal, like the big games, you're going to have a lot of money made and you're going to have big ticket prices. But generally speaking, they're very inexpensive. But bringing in this extra TV money into the game is going to allow clubs to bring in better players. It's going to allow clubs to make better money. It might increase the prices, unfortunately. But I guess is enjoy what you have now in Portugal, because if this centralization comes and there is more money, and by the way, we're not talking about third-party money that only involves transfers. We're talking about money that's going to bring in better players, that's going to bring in a better product, and that will likely, if the product gets better, make everything a little bit more expensive. So I always tell people when they go to Portugal, I get so many DMs and emails, I always say, enjoy it, because it may not necessarily be that way in about 5 years. So TV rights back on the agenda, ticket prices. I saw Gil Vicente, 20 euros for a bus and a ticket to go to the game this weekend at Porto. Enjoy it, because I'm not sure if that's going to be the case in about 5 years. Moving along here, unfortunate situation, what's happening in Ukraine. Our thoughts go out to everybody. Hopefully that does not get any worse. Paulo Fonseca, it was in Kiev, and he was supposed to get out that day, but that morning the bombing started, so he's in Kiev. I believe he's married. His wife's from Ukraine. Obviously, you know, he managed in Ukraine for a few years very successfully. But with that, looks like the Champions League final is not going to be in St. Petersburg. So will Portugal do the hat trick? Is Portugal going to be in a position again to host another Champions League final? 2 years ago, we hosted the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals between the stadiums of Alvalade and Luz. Last year, they moved the match up north to Porto when you had the All-English Champions League final with Chelsea and City. You probably will remember a lot of controversy because at that time, Portugal had a lot of restrictions. And yet there was a lot of fans, because what do fans do when they go to a Champions League final? They travel, they go, they drink, they eat. And there was a lot of people not very happy. But the final did take place last year in Portugal. And now the question is can Portugal be in a position to do the hat trick and to do it three in a row? I was very fortunate 2 years ago to be in a position to hear that they were going to be doing it. Will they do it again this year? We don't know. It makes sense because Portugal already knows how to do it. They would, in my opinion, if they did it, as long as the pitch, they're probably doing it in Alvalade. I would see it, maybe put the final in Alvalade since Luz had the final and Porto had the final. What's the other option? Algarve, but the Algarve Stadium's too small. So it would probably either be Luz again, and Luz already has hosted a few Champions League final, or it would be, you know, back to Porto. So we'll see. But, you know, you'll see a lot of countries that will want to host that match. You'll probably see London. Wembley always seems to be in the mix, especially if it winds up being two English teams again. So we're going to have to see whether or not they're going to be coming back. But it's a chance, folks, and it's a chance. And speaking of the Ukraine situation, Sporting's under-19 team is in the UEFA Youth League. They're supposed to be playing Dynamo Kiev. And obviously we know what's going on in Kiev, one of these cities that apparently are getting bombed. That match was supposed to be played the same day as the Clásico, but in Kiev. Now that's been pushed to the following week, but obviously now that's not going to take place. So they're either going to play that in a neutral venue, or they're going to probably move it. Will they move it to Al-Kashet? I don't know, but we have to see what's going to happen with that. But, and also, by the way, we'll probably know if it happens by the time you hear this, but I know Spartak Moscow is in the Europa League draw, so I'll be curious to see, especially if Braga and Porto draw them, what will happen with that. Obviously, I don't think they're going to be playing that match in Russia, so a lot of question marks at this point, and, you know, we'll have to see what happens. Continuing on here with the next part of part two, we are under 1 month for the World Cup playoff. Fernando Santos right now is, well, first of all, let me just say, right now, he's not spending a lot of time watching Bruno Fernandes or Cristiano Ronaldo or Andre Silva. Right now, he's watching a lot of Turkish League football, and he's watching all those players that play abroad in other countries that play for Turkey, because that really is what he needs to be doing. I don't think there's any secrets with our players. He does need to figure out a way to get our offense to be a little bit better, because we didn't score anything last time out in the, you know, in those matches, if I recall correctly. But he's got to spend more time trying to figure out how our potent offense could score a lot of goals, because with all due respect to Turkey, Portugal, like I gave the example of a sports car going at full speed on the highway in the autostrada, there's no reason why Portugal wouldn't be scoring three or four goals against Turkey, with all due respect to the Turkish, and I think they know that. But we have a month. You know, it's going to happen where we'll eventually find out the day he announces the selection, and then as usual, everybody will essentially get all excited when they see it, forgetting about the fact that that roster is still only going to go play in a playoff, and we'll see. But if I'm Fernando Santos, I'm thinking about my roster carefully. I'm thinking about who my 11 is, but I'm also spending a lot of time thinking about the Turkish players, because as far as I'm concerned, Italy has some of the best players, and if they get past you know, the team they've got to play, I don't think there should be a lot of secrets about the Italian team. But I think he needs to do a lot of studying about Turkey. So we are under a month before we get to what I think is going to be a very nerve-wracking time. There's a lot of time to talk about it, by the way. A lot of time to talk about it. But it's getting closer. And as it gets closer, the butterflies are going to be in our stomach, and we're going to be talking about it. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to wrap this up like I always do, talking about my hometown team. Now, don't get off the podcast yet. Yes, you do want to listen to this. Of course, my team, Athletico dos Arcos, based out of the most beautiful small city in Portugal, Arcos de Valdevez. Big win last week at home against Castelance with a 4-0 win. And right now, Athletico dos Arcos is sitting in a first-place tie in the group with Valenciano. But Athletico dos Arcos has played one less match because of some COVID issues a few weeks ago. The third-place team, Monção, although they've only played six matches, they're behind with 13, as is Cardiolonense. By the way, don't expect me to get the Portuguese names right, please. My North American Northeast accent is just never going to work. I tell that to my cousins. They've accepted it. I hope you will, too. But next week, Arcus will be hitting the road to go play at Schaaf. Schaaf is at the bottom with only 4 points. So if they are struggling, as we hope they are, of course, this will mean, of course, that Atletico de Arcus will be in a position to pick up 3 more points again. The winner of this group, Serie B A, from the Viana do Castelo districts, will advance up to the fourth division. And it all starts with winning these type of small matches. So obviously I'm going to be rooting for them. And I had mentioned, by the way, I don't understand sometimes why the club or this club doesn't put their games on YouTube, or at least the home matches, or why any club wouldn't be able to put their matches. I mean, you know, just I don't get it. It's a very easy thing to do. You don't need to be Sport TV or, you know, Canal 11 or whatever it is. You know, sometimes people are worried about how they look. Just let people see the match. But my second dream, besides seeing them make it as far as the second division, is to be able to regularly see them play every week. And that somehow, to me, feels like it's going to be harder to do than it is for these guys to go up to the second division. So we'll see. So big weekend coming up for Atletico dos Arcos, taking on Schaaf. Again, it's all about the 3 points this weekend. Folks, again, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, TuneIn, Podcast Breaker, Anchor FM. It's all over the place. Want to thank you again for your comments. Good or bad, but I'm grateful to say good. Hopefully, things won't get crazy in the future with what's going on in Ukraine. Hopefully, Paulo Fonseca and his family will be okay. He's not the only Portuguese that is stuck in Ukraine. There's also, by the way, a bunch of Brazilian players that play for big clubs there that are hoping to get out of Ukraine right away. What does this mean? Again, that is a very big concern right now. At a time when the world, especially Portugal and where I live in North America, is starting to open up, you know, all of a sudden now, instead of with spring not too far away, we have this ugly, ugly conflict that's going to destroy stock markets. It's going to raise possibly the price of diesel, of gasoline. There's a lot of headaches to come, But this is not about geopolitics. This is about Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, and we'll see what happens. And folks, great weekend of football. We got a Sporting Porto next week. Taça de Portugal, enjoy. And as always, and I say this sincerely, thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me 35, 40 minutes of your time. I hope you walk away a little bit smarter about our football, and I hope I helped out with that. Ciao, everybody. I'll talk to you next time.